You're listening to the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform, encourage, and entertain those who love kids and serving kids ministry. We hope you'll enjoy today's podcast and maybe even learn a thing or two. Now let's join our team for this episode of the KMC. Thanks for joining me on the KMC podcast. I'm excited for this episode because I'm honored to finally get Brother Jim Weidman to come join me on this episode. So, Brother Jim, welcome to the KMC.
Hey, it is so cool to be here. I can't believe I haven't been on here before.
I know. It's my bad, totally.
Yeah, yes. It's. I was looking for something today.
Yeah, I'm sure. I know your calendar.
I woke
calendar.
Up this morning wanting something today, so... You know, it's a wonderful blessing. I remember 40 years ago telling the Lord if he'd open up doors, I'd go through the ones he opened. And he's kept his end of the bargain really well. And I just don't want to renege on mine. And so I've been every day I get up and say, Lord, whatever you want and wherever you want. And it's been fun. And it's great to be a part of the podcast today.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining me. I think this is a good topic. I've had this discussion with a couple of my friends and thought this would be interesting to get somebody who's got some experience talking about some of these things. And so on this episode, we're going to be talking about the idea of what was important 5 years ago that maybe isn't quite as important now, and where in kid ministry should we really be focusing. And Brother Jim, you've been in ministry for 40 years.
44.
Wow. That is awesome. Yeah. That is awesome.
Had no earthly idea I was joining a movement. I was just wanting to help my pastor and started with 7 kids and just asked the Lord give somebody a vision and a burden for children's ministry. And after working with the kids and praying that prayer for a couple of months, I realized I was a somebody he had given a vision to. Yeah. And it's only gotten worse. And so it's been a tremendous blessing.
Awesome. Well, we're going to talk about this idea. And so let's go back 5, maybe even 10 years and think about some of the things. What seemed to be real important in kids ministry back then? We'll start there and then we'll build on it.
Well, you know, 10 years ago is really when the whole Orange strategy was birthed. And so that was important to me then. It's important to me now. When I look back, I'll be real honest with you. When you go on a lot of Facebook, kid ministry Facebook pages today, it seems to me a lot of effort is being put into things that aren't getting the most fruit. And there's a lot of things I think that 10, 15 years ago, activities for kids was a really big thing. Mom's Day Out, doing something, taking part in summer movie festivals and those kind of things, and just doing activities for kids, where today I think it's more about providing opportunities for parents to be with their kids rather than kids by themselves. I think that just events, you know, in a nutshell, have been rethought because people are so busy. You know, you think about the biggest change in 5-10 years ago is how little time people attend church. The scripture is real plain to say, you know, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. And it says in the end, as you see the end approaching, you need to come even more. And I think every believer would think, you know, these are the last days. At least they're my last days. You know, the only days I'm going to have. And so I look at that. The older I get, I need to go to church more. But yet Barna and some of the things we see are saying people are coming less. And, you know, the whole idea of building community with a small group leader in an environment where people are only coming to church once a month. If you told me 40 years ago that, you know, kids were going to come once a month and a faithful kid would attend church 8 to 12 times.
Yeah.
Or even 15 or 16 out of 52 weeks, I've told you that kid wasn't faithful. But, you know, it's amazing to me, you know, how just people attending church has changed. And,
well, you know, speaking of that, if, you know, because of that, and assuming that programming isn't the issue, what changes should we be considering then as we look at that?
Well, you know, I think that it's amazing to me when we're still having meetings and we're still doing things today the way they were done 30, 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we realize that people won't come to church if they don't have a choice, multiple services, but very few children's ministers have ever had the same meeting twice, one like on a Sunday afternoon, another on a Monday night, and make it available based on your schedule. And then what about recording one of those, recording the Sunday one, and then also Monday offering it online? That's how people live.
Right.
But yet in church, we're trying to partner with people as volunteers and family and all that, the same way we did it 30 years ago. Here's when the meeting is. If you can't come, tough.
Right.
And that's not how anybody lives.
Right. Right. So, you know, cause yeah, I noticed that too. The dialogue that's on the Facebook groups, it does seem like we're still stuck. You know, we haven't turned the ship.
Well, the crazy thing, if you get on those Facebook groups, you'll see there's just about 8 to 10 questions that they keep asking over and over and over again. And because those Facebook pages don't have a way to, you know, divide it by subject,
mm-hmm.
and have a thread going, the redundancy.
Right.
And basically, I get on there and I think, you know, I'm so thankful people read my books, but, you know, we don't look for answers anymore. We just re-ask the same question rather than go through a thread and see what somebody's already said about reading. What books do we need to read?
Right.
We'll ask that question for the 200th time. I'm just starting in children's ministry. What books do you recommend that I read?
Yep, I've seen that one a lot. What curriculum do you recommend?
Yeah, and, you know, it's how any ideas for fundraisers. And, again, it seems like we're taking some of the same heel. In my generation, we call that Vietnam. And when you just take the same heel over and over again. And it wasn't fun then, and it's not fun now. And it is amazing to me how it lets you know about somebody's leadership level when they ask a question rather than seek it out.
Right.
And they're, you know, I'm all about questions. But, you know, it's, and I think that's a little, one of the things that's changed in 5 to 10 years is it seems like there's less thinkers.
Yeah.
And, you know, like something that I told you when you went through Infuse, everybody's looking for appeal rather than understand the process.
Process. Yep.
And that's what a lot of things. Another big thing as far as events and things that have changed,
mm-hmm.
In my day in children's ministry, Halloween alternatives were a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not anymore. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know of very many trunk or treat that's actually brought people to church,
right?
Other than to get candy,
right?
And you know, the difference is parents today want to be in their neighborhood and they want to know their neighbors, and the opportunity to touch our neighbors and do things within the neighborhood during those times, especially if you live somewhere like me, that October's still kind of hot.
It's
I know where you live, you can flip a coin if you have snow, but yep. I can guarantee you I'm not going to have snow. And, you know, we have folks that get a grill and cook out for the neighborhood and be the yard that families gather and talk about stuff, and being able to sponsor that from a church, that's different thinking than we had. And again, I think it's that whole idea of going to your neighbor rather than, you know, 5 to 10 years ago was all about coming to an event at the church.
Right. So you saw the real shift then of, you know, where it used to be big VBSs, Easter egg hunts, trunk or treats, to now you say, you know, we need to start thinking more neighborhood based, more community based.
The other thing is put a new face on VBS. Do it at different times. Do it around different things. I know just coming up with different things. I know for me, it seems like that VBS has turned into cheap childcare.
Yeah.
It's not cheap for the people putting it on, but it is, you know, kids going the other ones and using right. it for things. And I think, you know, in my book, Eric Trapp, I wrote five things every leader. It's got to get right. One of them was measure with the right ruler. And I think some of these events we've always done, we've done them because we've always done, rather than trying to figure out how do you keep score and are you winning?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that for me, you know, they didn't have soccer when I grew up. It was bad use of a football field to me. It was something missionary kids did. You know, when I got to college, Bible college, all the missionary kids showed up. They played on the college soccer team because they all grew up in Brazil right. and different things.
Yeah.
We, you know, we had a great soccer team because of all the missionary kids. But I didn't understand it because I didn't know the rules. Well, Yancey, my oldest daughter, that some of you might know, that does music for kids and families, she married a soccer player. And Corey was the leading scorer coming out of high school in the state of Oklahoma. And I knew then I better start learning about soccer because my grandkids would probably play. And if you see me today on a Saturday during soccer season, I'm out there cheering and carrying on for Sparrow. And I tell you, I've yelled for a lot of people, but I've had more fun yelling for him than anybody in the whole wide world. And I understand it now. I know the rules. Yeah. I have a different appreciation, mainly because he's there. But it's one of those things that so many times we just say, well, I don't like this or I like this, but we don't ever understand how to measure it. Yeah. And what is the fruit?
Yeah. And I just heard you say, and it struck me as a good leadership lesson, your example of what you did. You saw something and said, I need to go learn this because I see it coming. Yeah. I think that's a good challenge for all of us in kids ministry and in family ministry, is we need to go out into our community so much to get to know them, to find out where are they going? What are they doing? What do they value? And then get the church out there.
Well, I think, too, people in ministry forget the ages of the people who are having babies.
Mm.
And, you know, it's one thing, you know, people are getting married a little older.
Mm-hmm.
They're having their first child a little older. But you look at late 20s and early 30s, they value different things than any other generation.
Right.
In their late 20s and early 30s. And I know having in my family, I had one wedding before Pinterest. I had another wedding after Pinterest. And I can tell you the Pinterest will cost you more money, those ideas. And again, it's amazing to me how we don't understand what the people we're trying to reach value.
Right.
And I think that that's another thing in looking at reaching today's parents. You got to understand millennials. You got to understand a lot of different things. And so, you know, understanding what they value, and I think that's another thing that's changed.
Mm-hmm.
People's lifestyle has changed drastically in the last 5 to 10 years. I think children's ministry too is still struggling over the difference between creativity and innovation. That's one of those things that a lot of times people confuse the two definitions.
Mm-hmm.
I think creativity is taking something that already exists and making it better. Innovation to me is not making something that exists better. It's finding something that doesn't exist and saying, what do we need to bring forth?
Right.
And, you know, when I look at today, there's some questions that have been around for the last 5 to 10 years that we hadn't solved the answer for. And I'll tell you a big one.
Okay.
And that is, what do we do with kids during an adult small group?
Uh-huh.
And how can that be meaningful and not just stuck in a bedroom with a teenager?
Yeah.
You know, that's something somebody needs to innovate an answer to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why can't we come up with an interact? Most every one of these kids has an iPad or a personal device.
Right.
Why can't we come up with an interactive video game per age group that reinforces what they've learned Sunday?
Uh-huh.
Why isn't anybody working on that?
Interesting.
And there's just so many questions. I know for me, you know, when we were the first church in America to have electronic check-in, not because we bought it, because we created it. Because number one, I was in Richmond, Virginia, watching some kids check in with an index card system. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you need to do a better job of tracking and taking care of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately started arguing with the Lord, because that's what you do sometimes. And I started telling him why. That time we were running about 2,000 kids at Church on the Move. And, you know, it was one of those things that I began telling him why that system would. I'm a systems guy, so I was telling the Lord why that system would not work at our church. And I'll never forget the next thing that he impressed in my heart, and that was, why should I give you any more kids if you can't keep up with the ones you already have?
Wow.
And yeah. So I said, okay, Lord, I repent. Forgive my haughty attitude. If you'll show me what to do, I promise I'll do it. I got on the airplane that afternoon, and I was sitting next to a guy, and I asked him what he did for a living, and he actually ran the Walmart distribution center in Arkansas.
Huh.
And so I said, so you track boxes? And he said, sure do. Every box that goes to any Walmart store in the world comes through my warehouse. And I told him the story and said, I don't know if you're a believer or not, but, and he was, actually went to a great church. It's now called Cross Church in Springdale, Arkansas. His First Baptist, and Dale Hudson was the children's pastor there years ago at the time, and I told him the story, and I said, if you can track boxes, could you track people? And he told me how to take an over-the-counter barcode reader program and hook it to FileMaker Pro. I'm a Mac guy, so that was the database I was trying to use. And we were the first church in America to have barcode check-in. And he told me where to buy the scanners. I've often wondered if I hadn't repented, if that guy would have been sitting next to me.
Wow.
But it's one of those things that innovation. Pastor Willie used to say it this way. He said, it doesn't take leadership to stop something that's not working. Just takes observation or evaluation.
Right.
It takes leadership to take something that's working good and tweak it and make it work better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we're missing today in our churches. Our people are, sometimes, Tom, ministry looks a whole lot like work.
And, yes, it does.
I think sometimes people aren't willing to put the hours in,
right,
and do what they need to do. And so I do think that that's one of the things that have stopped in the last 5 to 10 years.
Interesting.
That innovation. And it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So as you look at kids' ministry today, let's think about the physical environments. You know, we've come a long way. I'm sure you've seen such dramatic changes.
I remember when beige was, churches thought beige was God's favorite color. And got to actually help introduce that idea. But if I can be real honest with you, most of the things that I see people spending money on are dated.
Yeah.
So many of the children's ministry companies, and I'm probably going to make a lot of people mad right now, but basically 1996 is called, and they want their decorations back. And
their McDonald's play place.
Yeah. We're looking at Disney and McDonald's, who don't even have a playground anymore.
Right. Yep.
For ideas. And we're forgetting that the people that we're trying to minister to do not value cartoon crazy.
Right.
They value Pinterest and Pottery Barn for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at the wrong models and examples. We're not fishing with the bait that reaches young parents.
Right.
We're fishing with a bait that is from another decade.
Right.
And this is this whole idea. This might be changing the subject. And if I just hijack the podcast, one of the things the Lord's been dealing with me about is fruit from another season versus fruit from a present season.
Ooh.
And I don't want to be guilty of handing out processed fruit and vegetables. When you think of when you think of fruit from another season, I'm talking about three things: canned, frozen, and expired.
Okay.
If you live off that, you will not be healthy.
Right.
There's sugar added, there's salt added, there's all this other stuff added.
There's preservatives.
Yeah, and you can't live off fruit from another season.
Right, right.
And, you know, we go to the farmer's market every Saturday and try to buy fruit from this season. I've had to ask myself, Lord, am I handing out fruit from another season, or what fruit am I producing right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if our churches are going to, you know, be culture current or be current, it's not whether or not I wear skinny jeans.
Mm-hmm.
It's whether or not I'm producing fruit in a present season.
Yeah.
And then if we take this forward and we talk about how do you produce fruit in future seasons,
mm-hmm.
that takes a commitment to plan and to look long range. It means sometimes you rest a field. I hang out with a lot of agriculture people, so I understand that, you know, there's times that I ride by here in Tennessee and I see corn, and next year when I come by, I see soybeans. And
yep.
there's something about they're rotating those crops to protect yep. the soil. And we're just doing the same old stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're not doing what we need for fruit in future generations.
Yeah. And that's very true. I grew up in an agriculture town, and I remember my teacher, who was a believer, sharing with us the biblical principle. And even every 7 years, letting a piece of land rest. So they would crop rotate. And then he would say every 7 years, don't plant anything, leave it bare. And, yeah. And I think there's the principle of sometimes we need to put a program out to pasture and let it sit and stop it. Or maybe we need to start saying, what are we doing that we should be doing? And what needs to be planted now? So, yeah, I think you're spot on.
You know, I worked for a church one time that had a policy that said you can only do the same thing twice.
Hmm.
And to do it the third year, that same thing, it either has to be bringing people to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be overwhelming and overabundant fruit, or something that we all agree it's something God has told us to do.
Yeah. You know, it's that I just did a podcast with another guy, David Madren, about innovation versus duplication, talking about that same thing or just what you were sharing, that we often duplicate something from our past that worked. Maybe if we've switched churches, we sure. bring this new idea in. It's new to them. It's not new to you. And it's that concept of putting new wine in old wineskins, yeah. you know, and how long do you really want to do that?
And that's the place in my life. Over the next few months, I'm going to be introducing a lot of changes in how I do ministry and
mm-hmm.
what I do and those kind of things, because I am committed to bring fruit in this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to be heating up leftovers.
Right. Right.
The rest of my life.
So, let me ask you, what should we be thinking about? We'll go to the programming thing, because I think a lot of leaders struggle with their programming, and we've kind of edged around some of this. But what should we be thinking about that we aren't really thinking?
You know, one of the things that the question I don't see on the Facebook groups
mm-hmm.
is how to hold a child's attention. Mm. How
give them a fidget spinner, right?
Yeah, how to teach in a way that works.
Mm.
And I think that most people, and this is most people won't admit that kids are a little more sophisticated. I know my grandson, the things we talk about, I didn't talk to anybody about those things at six.
Yeah,
he uses the word actually more at six than I probably have ever used in my life. Some of the questions and the things that, you know, the challenges kids are facing today between
mm-hmm.
just 5 years old and 10 years old. Are tougher than any generation before them.
Right.
And I think that you know, how to hold a child's attention, how to teach in a way that gets results. I think children's leaders today are more interested in checking off their to-do list than presenting the gospel in a way that really sees results.
Oh, wow.
And I'll tell you why I base that. Working for Next Gen Staff Solutions and helping people place, one of the things that we ask for in all of our searches are we want to see you communicate. And it is amazing to me how bad people communicate.
Mm-hmm.
They've never watched themselves on a video.
Right.
They've never practiced in a mirror. I literally had a children's pastor, sent me a teaching from a camp, and he was using Tonight Show language with Johnny Carson and putting on a jacket, doing the golf swing, and all these things in children's church that they had no earthly idea.
Yeah.
What he was talking about. And it was horrible. And in fact, when the church saw him present, they were having him in. They'd had several interviews. They were impressed with him by what he saw. But when they saw his definition of good ministry to children and presenting the gospel, they called and said, please don't come down. We're taking the offer off the table.
Oh, boy.
And, when I look at, the Orange strategy, and I look at Orange Essentials, and it's amazing to me how many churches that use Orange curriculum, but they don't even know what the essentials of a strategy is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that today we're not aligning leaders in the way that we should. There's still not very many next-gen family ministry jobs and openings.
Right. Yep.
I'm finding that a lot of churches there, when they use the word next-gen, they're wanting to get somebody that can do children and youth.
Yes.
They're not looking at aligning. And so rather than think of an architect that helps all the trades work together to build the building together.
Right.
We're kind of like separate construction companies.
Mm-hmm.
That the preschool and the elementary and the student ministry is all doing similar things, but yet it's not like an architect was involved.
Right.
And so we're not aligning leaders like we should. We're not engaging parents. It's amazing to me that when I do Infuse, and I ask the question, what are you doing to partner with parents? Mm-hmm. That's one of the things everybody knows they should be doing, but they admit we're not knocking it out of the park.
Right.
And I think that today, especially because kids aren't at church as much,
mm-hmm.
if you're not engaging parents to do stuff with those kids at home, it's not going to happen, discipleship, by church alone.
Right.
Elevating community, that's one of those things that probably 8 out of 10 churches I talk to don't have consistent small group leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So if the small group leaders aren't consistent, how can there really be any kind of friendships and community being built?
Right.
What we've been talking about, refining the message. When you look at what goes on Sunday morning, it's not necessarily fun and it's not learning. And just sticking on a video and not trying to put your own span. And I love video. I use video. It's all about capturing a child's imagination and attendance. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, Tom, and I'm going to shut up and let you talk, but the, 10, 15 years ago, there seems to be more places where kids could serve.
Uh-huh.
And we've actually kind of, we haven't really influenced service.
Right.
We want workers to work, but we hadn't, you know, there's not kid ministry teams and there's not kids involved in every adult helps ministry in our churches. There ought to be a kid's equivalent. Major League Baseball without the farm club system wouldn't exist.
Right.
And I think church is the same way. And we haven't made a place for kids to involve in service, or in the last 10 years, it hadn't all been about teaching kids how to serve.
Right. So, well, that kind of leads me right into this next part of where I wanted to go in this episode is about leadership. And do you think the definition of a leader has changed from 5 to 10 years ago? And could that be one of the reasons why we're not seeing that some of the people that are leading haven't been serving as much? What have you seen the definition of a leader? How's it changed?
I think people are tired of leadership teaching. Teaching, here's these little things, and if you do these things, then you're a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, I love Frank's new book, and I'm going to brag on Frank. He was supposed to be on this podcast, and I'm going to find out why he wasn't. But his new book and The Myth of Balance,
right,
is just so practical. And to me, leadership is all about things for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
That will change me so that I can model to others. And I think that over the last few years, we've gotten this feather in our cap if we've read all these leadership books. But if you don't put what you read into practice.
Yeah.
And I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were telling me how they'd, read a book a week. And I said, they'd read 50 leadership books that year. And I just said, hey, do you underline your books? And they said, yeah. And I said, won't you take the next 5 years and go back through those same 50 books and ask yourself, why have I underlined this, but I'm not doing it in my own life?
Ooh. Yeah, there you go.
And, just underlining something in a book don't make you a leader.
Right.
And that's what I love about Frank's book and how it's so practical, because it gives you stuff to do. And then if you go on mythofbalance.com, you'll see even more ideas and things to do. And, that's what's needed in leadership. I'm personally... this sounds funny from a guy who kind of founded children's ministry leadership, but Jesus didn't call us to make leaders. He called us to make disciples.
Disciples, yep.
And one of the things a disciple does is they set the example.
Mm-hmm.
And, all discipleship is taking areas of our life that are Christ-like and spending time with somebody else that's not Christ-like in that area and letting that Christ-likeness rub off.
Yeah.
And I think that, I love Reggie's book. And if you hadn't read this, you need to get it. And it's called A New Kind of Leader. Mm-hmm. And I think that there needs to be a new kind of leader in our skin. And it starts with us being one who the things that really matter for the next generation, that we realize that that's what we need to be about.
Yeah. I know you impressed upon us in Infuse the whole idea that, you know, if we're going to be good leaders, we need to be studying the leader, and that's getting to know Jesus more and doing what he did. I mean, you taught us when we recruit like Jesus. You don't have to recruit like somebody else. You recruit like Jesus.
Yeah. And you don't get on the Facebook group and say, how do you recruit?
Yeah.
You get in the Bible and see how Jesus actually recruited.
Right.
And, you know, that's something that in my Think 7 life messages, I do a talk on there called Recruiting Like Jesus. And basically there's 30 things in Scripture that Jesus actually did to find, train, and release workers.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we'd rather ask for tidbits rather than seek it out and look to the, you know, Jesus is not only the ultimate way to live your life, but he's also the way to do ministry. He's the example of how to do ministry. And so I think that going back to those things is so important. And, you know, that whole idea of how do you pastor kids and parents who aren't in attendance?
Mm-hmm. That's the big question I've been wrestling with lately.
Yeah. When they're not at church,
mm-hmm.
how do you communicate?
Right. Right. And then I think I've been wrestling with the whole idea of how do we recruit and staff when even our regular attenders are struggling, you know, to be weekly in service, or, you know, and if you're in a smaller church and you only have one service, how do you maximize and still allow them to get into worship? And you know, it is a very challenging time we live in. And yeah, I think sometimes we struggle as leaders just because we keep studying leadership rather than studying, like we've been talking about, our culture, our community.
Well, God's word existed before culture.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the questions and things that we're wrestling with and kids today are wrestling with, we're looking to culture for answers rather than look at the word of God.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and so again, nobody wants to stand up and say that, okay. You know, if you, my pastor said this, and I tweeted her the other day, and she said that, you'll never change culture till you let the word of God change you.
Hmm. Yeah. Amen.
And I think that, you know, we haven't, you know, serving others and serving our community. You know, one of the things that you heard me say in Infuse is if you want to reach your community, start acting now like everybody in your community already attended your church.
Yeah.
And yep. Treat them like they matter.
Mm-hmm.
Treat them like they're special because they're made in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere, I know this, every dream I've ever had in ministry has come true by serving someone else's dreams.
Mm.
And, you know, it's one of those things that there are people in my life who I could not live without and are doing things to help me. And they're seeing their dreams come true because they've committed to help me see some of mine. And,
mm-hmm.
and that you know, that whole thing of serving Jesus knew what he's talking about.
Yeah.
When he said the greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. And that's contrary to how the world thinks.
Right. Right. Okay, so I'm going to ask the big question. If you were starting all over in kid ministry today, what would be your top couple things that you would really put your energy towards?
Well, first of all, I'd get a strategy. I think that so we have a vision, mission, statement, but not everybody has a strategy. I'm an orange thinker because of the strategy and the things of orange. And to me, what we've talked about, I would start from the get-go, getting all my leaders on the same page and aligning them. I would start at engaging parents. Tom, I've said this out of my mouth, and I've had to repent. In the early days of children's ministry 40 years ago, children's pastors told parents, hey, you just go to church and give us your kids.
Yep.
And it would have really helped us to read our Bible and see that Deuteronomy 6, mm-hmm. and I've had to even rethink Deuteronomy 6. I'll be honest with you. That wasn't just written to parents. That was written to parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, and cousins.
Right. It was the community.
It was the entire family.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for me, I grandparent differently because of Deuteronomy chapter 6. This idea of they're my grandkids, I can give them whatever I want, even if the parents don't like it. That's not partnering with my children and raising their kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to sit down and say, okay, what are the rules? Rather than me say what the boys could watch or what the boys could do, you tell me your rules and I'll stand behind them.
Excellent.
So they're going to hear same things. Now, I will tell you this. This is my one chance to do a better job than I did before. And so I will tell you two things that I do as a grandparent that I didn't do as a parent is I close my laptop the minute they show up.
Mm-hmm.
There is no open laptops until they either go to sleep or leave.
Uh-huh.
And they are the focus. I wish I'd done that more as a parent.
Yeah, I hear you.
The second thing is every time they come to my house and I see them, I pray with them when they get here and I pray with them when they go.
Hmm.
And I'm making faith where we're talking about
things
in the morning, at night, when you go somewhere, and when you're at the house.
Yeah.
I'm telling them stories about their parents, God choices. I'm having fun. And again, I'm setting the example how I want to engage parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, community. Small groups are more important to me today than they were 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're more important to me today than any other time in my history. I've seen what a small group can do for my children, my grown children, mm-hmm. as well as my grandchildren. And I want to elevate community more.
Yeah.
I think it's time that we refine the message, not everything. And let me go back to engaged parents.
Yeah.
If you haven't bought, if you're listening today, and you hadn't ordered the 18 Just a Phase
Facebook
workbooks.
Oh, yes.
Buddy, that is probably the most significant thing to come out in a long, well, ever.
Yeah. And the whole Phase project is amazing. Yeah.
And I know I've got here, I'm holding up for you that are listening, you don't see it, but parenting your 1 year old. And parenting your first grader. I got to help write parenting your second grader, but I don't even have that one yet. I got the ones that have to do with my grandboys. It is good, good stuff. And being able to give those out to parents and, you know, it's not one parenting book for everybody.
Right.
Again, great way to engage parents. But I think we've got to refine our message to say things.
That's good.
I meet with a group of 15 to 20-year-olds for coffee about once a month, and I run sermon illustrations by them to see if they know what I'm talking about. And I have found that a lot of things that I used to use as illustrations, people don't know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I think that we're communicating to kids about things they don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then again, I want to look for ways where I can get more teenagers involved. I can get middle school kids. I can get older elementary kids involved.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get kids serving and letting them see the opportunity. One of the things, I'm so proud of my grown daughters. I'm proud of their decisions for Christ. I'm proud of the ministries they're involved in personally. But one of the main things at 37 and almost, 33, they're both active serving in their local church, and they both still work with kids and kid ministry. And to me, there's certain things about faith and serving that are caught better than taught.
Mm-hmm.
And service is one of those. And so to me, I would come up with a strategy and what's essential to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I would build everything that I do around those essentials.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. And I used to come up with ministries and what can we do? And what has somebody else done? And the main thing, I want to work this strategy because I know that if it's not founded on strategy,
right?
You are not going, you know, again, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time.
Every time. Yep.
And so, you know.
Yeah. Well, one last question is what gets you excited about kids ministry today? What's still, you know, as you look ahead, what's exciting you as you look forward?
You know, what's exciting to me is the possibilities of partnering with parents better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now working, I spend a lot of time with the kids that I had in children's church are all adults.
Mm-hmm.
It has been 10 years since I've actually taught children's ministry. So at least, those 12-year-olds are 22.
Uh-huh.
and then you look at my original in Mississippi, my original 12-year-olds are turning 54. Being able to still work with the same bunch of kids, but helping them serve the next generation is exciting to me. Doing church differently than we've ever done before is exciting to me. And, one of the things that I'm going to be rolling out a lot of changes in the next few months, but I've had to sit down and say, all right, if you could sum up what I've been able to help people do, I've been able to help them think different.
Mm.
And I think one thing that I'm I'm seeing more people ask about soul care and being involved in soul care. And I'm really excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited about help people love Jesus more. And help as they love Jesus more, they're going to help others love Jesus more. And so those are some of the things that I'm thinking about. I'm excited about some new changes and new things that are coming down the pike, and my podcast, my website, my ministry, and even how I do Infuse.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun.
Well, speaking of that, as we wrap up, I would love for you just to real quick share a little bit about Infuse and about the website, and because I think that's the best way people can connect up with you. And there's a great community on Kidman Coach. And I got to say, Infuse was a life changer, a game changer for me, ministry changer for me. I had wished I had done it years before. In my ministry, once I got involved with that, I thank you for allowing me to be a part of that. So tell our listeners, because I, again, if they're looking for someone to get into and to go deeper, into who they are as a leader, as a Kidman person, I'd love for them to be able to hear about it.
Yeah. Basically go to jimwideman.com and you'll see everything I do. You'll see the books and resources I've written. You'll see information about our podcast. I started the club podcast before podcasts were cool. It's 25 years old. And so now you can check that out. Infuse, there's also information there. Basically, Infuse is just 6 months where I get to help you think different about your own leadership, your own ministry, your family. And every part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's everybody does better with a coach. And, you think about the best athletes you know, and they have a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to come alongside you. It's not a curriculum like some coaching things. It's based on the group of people God puts together.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't build the house, we labor in vain. And so it's amazing to me how the Lord sends different folks at every group. All the groups that I've done have been different. And so we kind of start from where people are, and we go as far as we can in 6 months. And so the next one will begin in March of 2018, and so check that out. We are going to be tweaking it a little bit, and I'll be telling you more about that. But I guess because Kidmen Facebook groups frustrate me, I wanted to organize it a little bit. Kidmen Coach is a online community that where somebody that wants to learn from me and people that I've coached, they can join Kidmen Coach.
Mm-hmm.
And learn. It's organized by topic, and you join different groups based on everything from women in ministry, the family, partnering with parents, leadership, recruiting. All those things have a separate group so that you can look at what other people have asked and written. There's my favorite part of Kidmen Coach is Kidmen Coach Talk, because it's basically a blog with 100 bloggers.
Mm-hmm.
All in one place. That the one thing they have in common is everybody that's blogging there was coached by me.
Right.
And, so it's a very interesting perspective on just about every subject in children's and family ministry. And there is a one-time fee. If you use the code GET10, it'll give you a 10% discount off that one-time fee. The only reason it's not free is because I got hit by European bots. And it cost me a bunch of money to get them erased. It was about 80,000
bots
hit me. And It was one of those things that all I had to do was require a low fee, and the bots went away.
There you go.
Some people say, why do you charge? Facebook's free. There you go. They have more smart people than I do. Can keep bots away.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Well, Brother Jim, thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule. And we definitely have got to get you back on, because there's a lot more questions I had, but we don't have time for. So
there you go.
We will do it again for sure. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom. And it was a joy to be on, and looking forward to connecting with folks. Again, jimwidman.com.
Yeah.
Kidmencoach.com are the best ways to get in touch with me.
Excellent. Well, thanks again for joining us, and we'll look forward to having you back on again.
All right. Blessings.
You've been listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. We'd love for you to connect with us on our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group or subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review so we can help others learn about this podcast. If you want, you can watch this episode on video on our Kids Ministry Collective YouTube page. Our goal of the KMC is from Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Join us again soon for another KMC podcast.